Wait, today.
I feel better to know that other passengers are screened.
If we can keep the safety, I think we need it.
I mean, I'm concerned that flying is made as safe as possible, and if that's required, then, you know, I'm not going to cause a fuss.
With the holidays rapidly approaching, everybody's talking about enhanced airport pat-downs plus the body scanners. It truly is the water cooler buzz. I read something earlier today about the fact that the economy in some ways must be turning around because they expect an 11% surge in at least Thanksgiving travel. That's according to AAA. Now, that's on the highways. When we're talking about flights, go ahead and try to book a flight to some of these major places where your family or friends might be gathering, whether it's Chicago or Philadelphia or L.A. or Miami or wherever, or Dallas, Texas, and you might find yourself paying through the nose if you can even get a seat. There have been a lot of people who've called this show, who have emailed the show and say they cannot believe what's happening at the airports. I've checked with people on the East Coast and on the West Coast. I've talked to, actually tonight, someone from the TSA who didn't want to go on the air, but about what are the procedures and what are people truly saying. What you just heard there, those were people who were asked about the security measures in San Francisco, and you could tell they didn't necessarily have a problem with it, but then you hear these stories, for example, of a young child being, you know, patted down, a toddler, a kid who's 2 years old, basically, or under 2 years old. And then there was the story about the nun and the pat downs. Where does this all go? The pilots' unions, at least for American Airlines, they don't like it. They're lobbying to not have the pilots have to go through these procedures, and they're in and out of the airports all day long. Who better to have on this show than our pal Denny Kelly, airline security expert, former pilot. Denny, what do you make of the pilots saying, listen, this is humiliating, and then the thing about the radiation, because now they have to go, as you know, as you traveled, they have to go back and forth so much that they really are exposed to more radiation, let's face it, than everybody else. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, there's no question they are. I mean, the estimates, I've heard different people, different experts saying that if by going through the x-ray machine four times a week is the same as getting four x-rays, chest x-rays a week, and it's dangerous. And some of these, you know, these pilots, it wouldn't be unusual for them to go through four times in one day. It wouldn't be unusual for them to go through 40 times in a month, so... You know, they definitely have a problem, and it's gonna be interesting to see how it's solved. And also, not only the pilots, but the flight attendants, the same way.
Oh yeah, you see, and of course they're talking to the government. They are talking to a certain group in Congress, one of the committees, the Transportation, of course, Committee, and had conversations. The travel industry actually had conversations with Janet Napolitano about, whoa, now we're worried that people aren't going to fly. I still think when you have to get somewhere, even though there are a lot of people that will cry for a boycott, people will ultimately, if they have to get there, they'll fly, don't you?
Of course they will. I mean, you know, we're kind of trapped in the system. We have to put up with this security because that's the only way you can get on an airplane, and yet... in reality, the system is completely broken. The security, as I've said this many times, security today is not any better than it was on September the 10th, 2001. It's just that they have better looking uniforms. the very first thing that they need to do, and these politicians are afraid to do it, is to profile. You've got to profile the passengers. And that would go a long way into making the system more, you know, more credible and safer. They've been profiling in Europe and for years and years. I mean, I remember going through London back in the middle 80s and being profiled both as a passenger and as a crew member. And you just got to profile. And that's the first thing. The second thing is they need different equipment. It's not necessarily x-ray equipment, but there's other equipment out there that they can use that can do inspections, and also that can make sure that the person that has that ticket in their hand that has a name on it is the same person that's carrying the ticket. And all of this stuff can be done. The problem is of course, that it takes a little money and nobody wants to pay for it, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I've said the same thing about profiling. Having traveled in Europe, I agree 100%. But that's, you know, you and I are put in a different category for saying that, that the PC police, you can't do that. But yet everybody wants to compare airline security here to Israel and to Europe and what they do.
Sure.
And you're right. That's exactly what they do, Denny. They
that's
all
exactly
profile.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame because people think they're getting this really good security, and they're not. And the people are, and the problem is the people are being abused in many, many ways, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, if you're abused by the TSA, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump to something else, this crazy stuff with what's going on with Qantas Airlines and a couple of their airplanes. Was it the A380s and a Boeing 747? Now they're saying there might be some problems with that. What do you make of this?
Well, it's actually not the airplane as much as it is the engines. They're Rolls-Royce engines. They're Trents. They're Trent 900s and Trent 1000s. The engines are basically the same. They just have a little different core to them. But what's happened is that they've discovered that there's a problem with that engine, with the basic engine, and they're coming apart in flight. It's not just Qantas. I mean, they've had problems with Lufthansa's had some problems, and Singapore's had some problems, and it's only the airplanes that have the Rolls-Royce Trent engines on them. And what people don't know, and they didn't publicize, was that when the Qantas 380, when they lost that engine, it came apart. They had a lot of other problems with that airplane because the debris from the engine explosion damaged other parts of the airplane. They had no leading edge flaps. They had minimum flight controls. They had problems with the brakes on that airplane. And when they got on the ground, they couldn't shut down one of the engines because the fuel controller had been damaged. And the fire department had to flood the engine with water to get it to shut down. So, you know, that airplane is all, you know, it's all computer driven. And even though these people want to deny that could happen, when you have an airplane that's all computer driven and you damage part of the computer, you're going to lose a bunch of stuff and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what happened to them. It was an extremely dangerous situation.
Yeah. Do you think they should take them off the line?
Absolutely.
I
think they should remove all these engines, go through them, and make sure that they're what they should be. And if they find a problem, they should replace it and fix it. I think they know now what they need to do to fix them. It's just, you know, what do you think it costs to ground the 380s, all the 380s with the Rolls-Royce engines, and all the 747s with the Rolls-Royce engines? I mean, you're talking a huge amount of money.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to pay for it. You know, so they're doing what they can do without doing that if they can. So it's going to be interesting to see how they solve it.
Boy, no kidding. Denny, happy Thanksgiving to you and your lovely wife. And we'll be talking with you again in the near future, I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next, we're going to meet a woman who went face-to-face or met face-to-face with Muammar Gaddafi, even though her brother was killed back in 88, that terrorist bombing of the Pan Am Flight 103. Lisa Gibson, she has a story to tell, and we want to hear it next on ATN.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Got a light, Jessica?
Nope.
But you're smoking.
I don't need a light. It's a Smoke Genie electronic cigarette.
Really?
You haven't tried them? It's just like the real thing, but better. It's so much cheaper. There's no tar and burning, and you can take just a few puffs and put it right back in your purse. You can even smoke one of these where regular cigarettes are banned.
Seriously? I'm sick of people telling me where I can and can't smoke.
I tell you, it's great. There's a bunch of them out there, but Smoke Genie is way superior in flavor, quality, shipping, and customer service.
I don't know. I've been smoking cigarettes forever. Not sure I could change.
Listen, there's a 30-day no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. You've got nothing to lose. I wish they had Smoke Genie 10 years ago. I would have saved a ton of money. And my clothes don't smell like smoke anymore.
Really? That's great.
And Smoke Genie even has next day delivery. Go to SmokeGenieCigs.com today and use the code RADIO for 10% off your order.
SmokeGenieCigs.com and code RADIO for 10% off? I'm in.
Can you imagine the horror of hearing that one of your family members was killed on a flight, actually coming home for the holidays from overseas, and then it turns out it was a terrorist bombing, and that's Pan Am Flight 103. We've talked about it a lot here, actually, on America Tonight. Many of the victims' families have come on and shared their stories over the years. And we're very pleased to welcome Lisa Gibson to America Tonight. She's got a definitely different perspective, I think, from the others that we've had on. And her message really is about forgiveness and reconciliation. And if you were listening to me when I told you you don't want to miss my conversation with Lisa, you heard me say that she met Muammar Gaddafi face to face. Can you imagine? Pretty much this is the man that I say is responsible for her brother's death, certainly the head of the country that was responsible. Lisa, thanks for coming on. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, Kay. Appreciate it.
Well, first, I want to rewind the clock just for a second, because I can remember when that happened, how scary it was. There were a lot of students that were on that plane, and there was confusion as to what happened initially, and of course, the pictures were terrible, and that had to be just such a sad, terrible moment for your family. Probably hard to put into words, but do you remember the shock of that?
Absolutely. In fact, I was a freshman in college. I'd just gotten home from college for Christmas break, and we were all just kind of waiting at home for my brother to come home for Christmas. And honestly, when we first heard the news on the television, we did not instantly know he was on that plane. It wasn't until the next day that we actually had that confirmed. So it wasn't even immediately that we knew it was him. We just saw the horror of it and were thinking about the families that were affected, not ever realizing that we could have possibly been part of that group. So it was a pretty challenging time, to say the least.
Yeah, no kidding. And what was your brother's name? What was he like?
Well, my brother's name is Kenneth Gibson, and he was 20 years old when he was killed. He was on his way home from Germany, where he'd been stationed in the U.S. Army. And, you know, he was probably pretty typical of most 20-year-olds. And for me personally, he was my older brother, and I hadn't seen him in 2 years, so I was really looking forward to spending some time with him on that Christmas break.
Mm. So initially, is your family, obviously, besides the shock, there must be anger and all those things that set in. How long did it take for the anger to subside within you?
Well, I don't know that it was something that happened all at once. It was more of a progressive process. Because of the nature of this tragedy, we didn't even know who was responsible. So who are you angry at is the first question. You know, part of my response was to try to just throw myself into school and hope that maybe that would make it all go away. So I was kind of in denial for several weeks until my brother's body was actually brought back. And then that's kind of when the process of the grief started for me. And it took many years for me to begin to really reconcile the anger and the emotions of wanting to see justice, but then transitioning to the point of looking at ways to forgive and then later to reconcile as well.
Yeah, tell us about that. And I specifically said that you did make big news when you met with Muammar Gaddafi and, of course, forgave him. What drove you to that point that you wanted to meet with a guy who, let's face it, you certainly know this, Lisa, is notorious, one of the world's worst terrorists. So how did you get to that point?
Well, it's definitely something that took many years. I mean, we had 22 years that we were really wrestling to see resolution of this case. And so I kind of worked through a process in myself personally of realizing that as a Christian, I was called to forgive. And so I knew I had some point to forgive, but then to forgive whom? At the time, we hadn't brought anyone to justice. It took years of sanctions. And so it was a process of recognizing that was what I was called to do, but walking that out practically. And then also looking at seeing justice happen, because I do believe that justice is an important piece in that process. And that's really what we kind of threw ourselves into, and I personally was involved in that, tracked, you know, very closely with the trial, and as an attorney wanted to see that came to fruition, because I believe that spoke a very clear message to the country of Libya that this behavior was not acceptable. In many ways, we've seen Libya change the way they do business. But then after that all came together, I really felt like I needed to write a letter of forgiveness to Megrahi, a guy who was convicted in prison. Mm-hmm. And did that shortly after the U.S. and Libya began to normalize relations, and then from there ended up going to Libya on my first trip, and then later had a chance to meet Gaddafi in September of last year as well.
So let me backpedal for a second. Megrahi, who you mentioned, of course, fast forward, he comes down with cancer, he gets that disease, he's ravaged with it. And he's let out of prison, if you will. The huge story, of course, last year and heading into this year. What were your emotions when that happened? Because I got to tell you, people calling America Tonight and myself, we were not happy about the fact that he got released. Because I feel for you guys. I feel for the victims, certainly, and the families of Pan Am Flight 103. So what were you thinking when that happened?
You know, I kind of took a little bit of a different approach, because at that point I had already made a decision that I had forgiven him, whether he was responsible or not. In fact, when I wrote him the letter of forgiveness, I said, you know, there's been some level of question in this case whether you're responsible, but I said, as a Christian, I need to forgive you whether you're guilty or not. And so I'd made that decision, and I understood the rationale of the Scottish government, of course, when I found out that he was still alive and maybe didn't have a severe cancer. I had some concerns, but you know, as an attorney, I recognize that at the heart of justice is really more about deterring future bad behavior, and I didn't see him as a danger to society anymore. And honestly, we had a conviction, we had an acceptance of civil responsibility, and we had a payment of damages. Now, it took 22 years for that to happen, but from my perspective, justice was done, and, mm-hmm. you know, making him rot in prison in some way wasn't in any way going to bring my family member, mm-hmm. my brother, or anybody else's family back. And so I thought it actually communicated a very different message in the face of hate to respond in compassion and love. I thought spoke very loudly of a different worldview that the Scottish government was coming from.
And now you've made that pretty much what you do with your life. You try to help other people move through pain of loss, basically, and get them back to wholeness. And I'm assuming that a lot of that has to do with what we've been talking about in this interview through forgiveness, correct?
Absolutely. It's been a journey that I've had to wrestle through for 21 years. And I can tell you that one of the single biggest questions I get asked is, how can you forgive? And what I tell them is it's, first of all, it's not something that happens one day. It's a daily decision, but that you can have justice and forgiveness at the same time. They do, I believe, go hand in hand. And that's how I was able to reconcile it, is that it's not one or the other. I don't think revenge is the same thing as justice. And that's some of the statements I hear from some of the other family members, which I think in many ways miscommunicate what the desire is of others of us, is just to see justice done and to see a change in behavior. And so I communicate that same thing to others. I have a book that I wrote about this in, called Life and Death, A Journey from Terrorism to Triumph, where I hash out what it was like for me to walk through that process, and then to help counsel others in those processes is also what I do.
Yeah, wow, a real lesson in learning to forgive. How do you honor Kenneth's memory? Do you just keep him close to your heart, or is there something that your family does, because it's this time of year?
Well, you know, on the 20th anniversary, I was actually in Libya and focusing on reconciliation. That was kind of the most concrete way I thought I could respond, and the idea would be to see some kind of good come out of it, to sort of overcome evil with good. And so that's why I've kind of focused my efforts in trying to prevent terrorism and building relationships and understanding, is that's the only way I believe I can make my brother's death not be in vain.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's great talking to you. I think some people will certainly, it'll resonate with a lot of people, Lisa. It's a real lesson in forgiveness that you were able to do that. And the book, again, is called Life and Death, The Journey from Terrorism to Triumph. Pick it up. Lisa, thank you, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Remember, you can always catch up with us through Twitter and Facebook by going to americatonight.net. And if you have any thoughts on what we're covering on the show, and specifically, wow, what a story, the brother who's in the Army, serving in the Army, and then there she mentions 21 years later actually coming face to face with Muammar Gaddafi and forgiving him, forgiving the situation, feeling like, okay, justice has been meted out here, so this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to reconcile that, and you're supposed to forgive. And you think of the sayings like revenge is a dish best served cold and whatnot. But how tough would that be to walk in her shoes, especially right after that happened and those decades going through that process? Once again, flip us emails at americatonight.net.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, I want to address the skeptics listening to talk radio. You hear multiple commercials on products that make you feel better and help you lose weight, but you don't believe it. Companies come and go. Well, people, I understand. You really are desiring a product that works, but you're tired of getting burned with substandard quality, gimmicks, and 3 to 6 month get-involved contracts. Life Change Tea is different. I speak for Life Change Tea because I lost 25 pounds, lowered my blood pressure and blood sugar levels. I sleep well at night, knowing Life Change Tea customers receive creating a real product that works, customer service, and customer satisfaction. So here's my spiel. Test us, try us, and receive results. And if you don't try us, that's okay. And if you do, you'll be a Happy Tea customer getting healthy. So order now. Call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. In my opinion, you won't be sorry.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Authority, and he tops odds and ends. Who would I be talking about? I'm talking about criminals of a different sort, not terrorists. Charlie Rangel, after all those years of peddling influence, he finally got nailed, and he's 80 years old. I mean, he was one of the most influential House members. There's your problem. Power corrupts. So he was convicted Tuesday on 11 counts of breaking ethics rules. Now, what's the punishment going to be? You know, the punishment fitting the crime. So what will Rangel get? You know, this to me, I have a theory. Where there's smoke, there's fire, and that's not always, always true. But I think in my experience, usually there's a little bit more to it. And he was tap dancing too much. And then he was firing his legal team and wanted to represent himself, and he was dancing around all of that, wanted to try to delay the hearing. So you knew it. That's it. Then you know it. I thought it right away anyway, because this has been going on for years. But he clearly made himself definitely look guilty by doing what he did with the legal team and then trying to push all of it off and then walking out the other day. So the panel is eight folks, House peers. It took them 2 days, and then they laid down the hammer on top of old Charlie's head. This is a 20-term New York Democrat's career, 20 terms. How do you get elected 20 terms? How does that happen? So ultimately, we're talking about financial and fundraising misconduct, fraud, really. And it's a huge blow to the Democrats. First, you have the midterm elections, the Republicans, all the seats they got in the Senate, and then taking control of the House. But this is just another devastating blow because Rangel's face was everywhere. You'd see Rangel, you'd see Nancy Pelosi, you'd see Harry Reid. Think of the top Democrats that you can name, even if you don't know that many, and he certainly was one of them. And this is a founding member of the Congressional Black Caucus, and he's not expected to resign. He's, and I bet he won't do it. I mean, he is like a father figure in Harlem. They love Charlie Rangel. And rightfully so, because he's done a lot to help the people in his, along the way, in those 20 terms. He did a lot to help the people, but he really blew it with what he has done over the last couple of years. And he was obviously upset by the conviction. He doesn't think the ethics subcommittee, he didn't think he got due process. And he says he can only hope that the full committee is going to be treating him more fairly, in his words, and look at the entire 40 years of service to Congress before making any decision on sanctions. It doesn't matter. You could have a whole career and be pretty squeaky clean or pretty decent, and then, hey, your last 5-10 years, you blow it. You blow it. I mean, you break the rules, and they're not going to take those 40 years into consideration. I mean, maybe in a punishment phase, maybe, but I'm thinking probably not. You know, it's like Andrew Cuomo, who's been around Rangel a ton. In fact, Cuomo went to Rangel's fundraiser back in the summer while he was campaigning on his own. And he said, look, it's a sad situation. Of course it's a sad situation. And these are our elected officials, though. You can never lose sight of that. We put our faith and trust that there's some integrity to the whole public service thing. And he blew that integrity up by doing what he did. I mean, he was just sucking up the dollars is what he was doing. And this is the guy who was running the show in the Ways and Means Committee. Wow. And he was also, by the way, in all of the shroud and cloud of things that he did, he was found guilty of failing to reveal or disclose, whatever word you want to use, $600,000 in assets and income if inaccurate reports to Congress. That's called burying money. I buried $2. They're coming after me. Let's go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, Kate. You know, politicians can even break promises when they ain't in office. Al Gore promised us global warming, right? And it's colder than hell up here. I'm 300 miles straight north of Custer's Last Stand, and it's 6 weeks. It's, the first day of winter is roughly 6 weeks away, right?
That's September 20th, right.
And it's 10 below here Fahrenheit. Well, 15 Celsius, so it's around 0, 10 below here. And Chris, and first day of winter. But anyways, President Obama has just written a book for kiddies, right?
Yes.
You got your copy yet?
No, not yet.
I'm waiting. I got my crayons out. I'm ready to color it. But, you know, a book written at the level of children, by children or for children, written at the level of an 8-year-old, that is different from every other book written by a left winger in what way?
Well, but I don't understand. Why are you pounding him about this kid's book? What's the deal with that?
I'm not mad about the King book. I'm just saying that it's different from every other left-wing book.
Okay.
That's the point. He can write him. It's good to write kid books. I'm not against.
Well,
kid
listen,
books.
Look, not for nothing. All these other presidents wrote about their animals. socks and whatever, Barney the dog.
I think President Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt wrote a book for children. And it's all Democrats. Jimmy Carter wrote a book for kids. The point I'm trying to make is that this will fit in with every other left-wing book, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, all right, I got you. So yeah, just throw it in the pile.
And just, I know I go off on tangents all the time, but I got a scatterbrain mind. But about a week ago, a 14-year-old Christian boy was crucified in a city in Iraq by a bunch of Muslims. Is this 2010 or is this the year 2010? Did you hear about that?
I did hear about that.
And it wasn't just like one of those Filipino things where they put on a phony crucifix. The boy died, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
You hear these terrible, horrible stories. You're right. Especially with kids, it's ridiculous what happens when something like that happens with children. But you know how I feel about that. Of course, there are so many barbaric, ridiculous things that go on. That make absolutely no sense to most of us. And that's part of the problem of trying to understand what they're doing, what they do when they're following supposedly the letter of the religion.
Yeah, but crucifixion is a Roman practice. The Romans did the Muslims never crucified any. The Muslims either behead you or stone you.
Right.
I don't know where the hell they got the idea to crucify. Why did they crucify?
And to make a point, I think they were trying to make a point about the Christians.
And what
okay, so we're going to crucify you. Well, the point was a bad point, and it was awful that it happened. Yes.
Yeah, and the left-wing media, they did 5 seconds of. I heard a story about 5 seconds long. If that had been a bunch of Christians who crucified a Muslim 14-year-old Muslim boy, that would have been the lead story for the next month. But it got 5 seconds of coverage in the, and Sarah Palin is right. The lamestream media is completely biased against Christianity. I'll let you go, Kate.
All right, Al. Duly noted, he says, he said left wing, I think, 10 times in that couple of minutes there, too, by the way. This is a wide open question. I mean, if you look at all of the publications that are out there, if you look at all the broadcasting, whether it's television, radio, or whatever, It's like somebody said to me the other day, if you had to break it down, how many do you think slant to the left? How many think slant to the right? How many are just in the middle? And it's like, which side is your bread buttered on? Answer that question, and then you know the answer. Then you know the answer to whatever it is you're watching or listening to. All right, we've got a thumbs-up moment, believe it or not, when we're talking about politicians here. The Senate Republicans actually did a full-scale assault. I mean, they really sizzling deficit spending Tuesday, late into the night, because they approved an earmark ban and a whole bunch of other belt-tightening resolutions is the best way to describe it. That's a big deal, because there were some Republicans who didn't want to throw in on that, and they did. Like Senator Jim DeMint, it's interesting because he's been a long-time earmark foe, but he offered a moratorium along with Tom Coburn and 12 other senators, and they say it's identical to an earmark ban that's supposed to be approved by the House of Representatives. So this is a huge, that they're doing this. Because, first of all, you're going to save a lot of money, but there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to be happy because they're not going to get what they think that they've been promised back home, but there's been so much pressure to do that they're actually jumping on the bandwagon. So bravo, somebody listened. I don't care what party it is. Can we have some applause for that, please? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We mentioned this in a previous show. They have thick books that are like two Bibles put together of crazy earmarks every year that are printed up. It's the waste and the crazy amounts of dollars that fly out of Washington that go toward unnecessary things that are happening around the country in various states. Not for really always the serious need, but instead padding because somebody was in the right place at the right time. Whether it's the mating rules of flies or some other ridiculous thing, it's about time they stopped all of that, and this is the first step, baby. It's a big one.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Vadini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Wrangle going down now. Let's see what happens with the full committee. The ethics panel, by the way, split 4-4 on a charge that Wrangle violated a ban on gifts because he was to have an office and storage of his papers and all that sort of stuff at a facility that was named for him, the Wrangle Center for Public Service at a City College of New York. And then there was two counts, I'm just throwing this in here, two counts charging him with misuse of Congress free mail privileges that were merged into one. So we'll see. Maxine Waters, by the way, is next, the 29th. She goes through her hearing, the subcommittee hearing, and I think that they've got her cold on especially the one thing of her husband's bank where he had money invested. getting funds, getting bailout funds. It doesn't look really good for her either. So you go from New York to California. We have other things to jump to here in America Tonight, and we're going to get to those in just a second. We want to invite you to throw in on anything, of course. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Tomas in Michigan, you have the floor. Hey, Tomas.
Hello, Kate. Listen, you know, we were just talking about the whole airplane thing and you dressing up, right? And all of a sudden, that guy in San Diego went over and started testing the TSA. Did you hear about that?
No, but there's a lot of people that are testing it. So he did some crazy thing, and then they. Oh, yeah, no, I did hear about him. He's probably going to get fined at least $11,000. That happened a couple of days ago, at least. It's been more than a couple of days, I think.
Oh God! Yeah, he said if you touch my junk, I'll have your. I guess not, huh?
So crazy.
So say that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you do get to the airport, you know, if, for example, you have been eating a lot of garlic, you know, that might slow the roll a little bit, you know.
There you go.
And if you have, like, a nice omelet with, like, beans and broccoli and eggs in it, and, you know, lose a little bit of that intestinal fortitude, they might step away, you know. But I think you should make the most of this trip. Don't just go over there like an American tourist.
I never am like an American tourist, but I gotcha.
And so that's my airport advice. And if you get arrested, don't worry. I'll send you, you know, letters and come visit.
I'm going to hold you to that. Trust me.
All right. You know, the whole thing of illegals getting free tuition in California and the dream, that dream legislation they're coming up with, you know, Republicans right now should be talking about defunding federal assistance to California. If they're broke and they want to continue spending money like they're rich, they better go to the Chinese like everybody else, but they shouldn't come to the federal treasury to get their money. And Republicans should be working on that angle, you know. They should be working on the angle of, you know, every student that puts in, you know, for this assistance, we want to see their name. And we want to make, you know, we just want to see their name. That will slow it down right there. Just somebody talking that talk. But you know what? I don't see any Republicans talking about it.
No, they're really what's happening, it's, and especially now because of the lame duck session, they're backing off of it. That's a good question. What's going to happen with not just this issue, but other issues related to illegal immigration when you get some of the newbies on the Hill and it's the beginning of January, Tomas? Because this is something that has to be dealt with, and that was a promise that got a lot of people elected. So let's see if we can hold their feet to the fire and they actually do something. Because each day it gets more and more outrageous, and the tuition thing really is the latest twist. It's terrible.
If they put Rangel on the spotlight, they might as well put Holder and Barney Franks under the spotlight, too. I mean, they can come after Holder for what he did with the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
And Lord, you know, Barney Franks had his gay lover in charge of, you know, a big post there at Freddie and Fannie, and he had a large part in screwing all that up. So, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, no kidding. They do need, especially Fannie and Freddie, nothing's more infuriating than that. How much money have both of those drained us of? And the answer is too much to even mention on the air. It makes you sick to your stomach, I tell you.
Nobody has gone to jail. I think that one person in this whole fiscal trillions of dollar fiasco, I think one person has gone to jail. And after putting up $2 trillion deficits, now they want to cut the budget. You know, that's like somebody gaining 10 pounds for 2 months and then saying, you know what? I figured out a way to lose 1 pound a week.
Yeah. And let me tell you about it exactly. And it might be slow, but geez, it's really going to work eventually. Hey, we're up against it. Thanks, Tomas.
Yep.
He's desperate for me to make a scene at the airport and going to Mississippi, which, by the way, reminder, we're taking the show on the road. Mississippi Gulfport will be down there broadcasting live. Should be interesting. We're going to talk to the governor of Mississippi and talk about the recovery efforts and what's happened to the shrimping industry, and really look at Biloxi and the gambling business and what it's been like for the people who make their living on shrimping and oysters and along that area that was hit so hard, not just by the oil spill, but also by Katrina as well. It would be remiss if we didn't at least mention this. Do you know that Prince William got engaged? Well, if you didn't know that, I'm sure you're just fascinated by it, but you have to mention it because here's the thing. He gets engaged to this woman who's been all over the tabloids with him. Kate Middleton, her name is. And what's interesting is that she gets the ring of Princess Diana. I think that's kind of cool. I actually gave him props. I was writing about other things like the TSA pat-downs, but I threw that in. If you go to AmericaTonight.net, you'll see it. And she's carrying around on her finger a real piece of history. And speaking of piece of history, you know how we always have Harry Rinker on, yeah, basically twice a month, and we talk about crazy things that happen at auctions and what your stuff might be worth. I saw the story out of Geneva. They found a rare pink diamond. You know, there's this rare pink diamond, and it shattered world records for a jewel. I mean, no one's going to be sporting this around. Let's be honest about that. $46 million. 24 carats. Over 24 carats. Wow. And they say it's the most fabulous diamond ever. You know what the markup is on diamonds? It's like 1,000%. It's 1,000%. That's not even exaggerating. A pink diamond. Flawless, they say. Completely flawless. And who wore this pink diamond? I guess there were four bidders who competed for the diamond. It was last sold 60 years ago by a New York jeweler of some fame, Harry Winston. The seller wanted to be anonymous, and they didn't really say about what's going to happen now with the diamond. Is it gonna be altered, or is it just gonna be put away in some safe somewhere? I would say whoever has that kind of money is maybe not might think about some kind of a high-tech security system, because the pink diamond netting that much on the open market, what do you think it would net in the underground? $46 million, 24-carat rock. Wow.
Well, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.